So that I can kind of consider as almost like losing a future, right? Because with a job, we think about the stability that provides, or with a relationship, maybe we're hoping that it's going to move to the next stage. And with a person, a loved one, we're imagining all the future things you want to do with that person. And so it's so interesting what loss looks like in those ways. And also sometimes suffering looks like just anxiety, depression, feeling stuck in life, feeling maybe just a lack of a sense of worth, feeling like there's not a place for us. And I think I've run the gamut of kind of feeling all those things at different times. And specifically in that time of grief that I faced, I found a story in the Bible that really did touch me. It was it's the story of Mephibosheth, and it's found in 2 Samuel 9. I don't know if anyone here has heard of Mephibosheth. Really quick, I want to give a little survey. Put thumbs up if you have heard of Mephibosheth before. Give me a thumbs up in the camera. Okay, I'm seeing some. Nice. Awesome. Yeah, it's a really tough one. Sometimes it's a little, obscure, but let's jump straight into it. So we're not actually going to have slides with the scriptures because of some technical difficulties, but let's go ahead and jump into these scriptures. So in 2 Samuel 9, I'm going to give you some background. So Mephibosheth was the grandson of King Saul. He was the son of Jonathan, who was King David's best friend, right? So I guess what happened to Mephibosheth was that as a child, he was dropped by his nanny when there was some commotion happening inside the castle. He was dropped, and he actually broke his legs, and he grew up a cripple. He lived the rest of his life that way. And by the time that David became king, Jonathan and Saul had both died. They were both dead, and David was really thinking about how much he loved Jonathan. He was thinking, I love Jonathan. I wish he was here with me. I wonder if there's anyone left in that family that I can bless. And he asked around, and he found out about Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth, again, being a cripple, and in the time that they were alive, there wasn't much opportunity to do work with your brain, like being a computer programmer or to be some sort of illustrator or perhaps something in the arts that would kind of make you a lot of money. Rather, everything then was really based off of physical labor, whether that be agriculture or fishing. And as a crippled person, I imagine that Mephibosheth probably was forced to beg. If you know a little bit about the history of Israel, King Saul and Jonathan, when power changed hands, a lot of people didn't feel great about that family. They liked David better, and a lot of his family was treated pretty poorly with the new regime. But David really wanted to show favor. So let's pick it up here. So in 2 Samuel 9, verse 7, so David calls over Mephibosheth, brings him to the castle, and Mephibosheth is scared. He says, "What's going on?" He says to him, "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table." I love that so much because I really see how David lifts up this person who has been going through such a hard life. And I think for us, I can't really say and tell you why you're going through what you're going through. But like Chana said, sometimes in our rush for answers and trying to feel better and trying to get past this, we actually end up concluding that whatever we're going through must be a punishment from God or a consequence that we brought upon ourselves. I can imagine Mephibosheth probably felt that at least one time in his life. Like, man, I'm here. I was supposed to be a prince. I was supposed to be a king. And now I'm here crippled and I'm forced to beg. This must be some sort of punishment. God must be doing this to me. But I think that that's something that we all wrestle with. We get there. And I think that I can't say whether for sure that may or may not be true. I do think that God, number one, loves us, and he reminds us, actually, I'm going to look at one more scripture, in Lamentations 3, 31 to 33, God reminds us, it says here, "For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. For, I'm gonna read that again, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. Mephibosheth was a baby when he got crippled, and he didn't really do anything to earn the suffering that he was facing. You know, the regime changed, he was still a kid, you know, when the nanny dropping him, that was the negligence of someone else. And yet he had to face those consequences, face that hardship. But in the same way he did nothing to earn that hardship, he also did nothing to earn the king's favor. You see, God has a place for us at the table. God treats us just like King David in the story treats Mephibosheth. In our moments of grief, we need to see that we actually are more prepared for them than we think we are. Even when we feel like we're alone, we're not. There is someone looking for us, watching over us. And even when we feel crippled by our sadness or by just the things that happen, because of who our Father is, we are favored. And there's a place for us that God and Christ has prepared. And God does really seek, he really does seek to comfort us. You know, in 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." So Shanna's going to take over from here and also share some of her experiences with God's comfort.
Thank you so much, Noah. That was awesome. We could definitely a lot of times see things happen in our lives and just feel like God is punishing us, or feel like we did something to earn that, and we don't. And I love that scripture that you just shared. I love that scripture. That scripture has helped me so much in these last few months. In April, I lost my grandma, and it was the most heart-wrenching times of my life. I was just so confused. I questioned God. I was in pain. I was hurting because I had no idea what was happening. Like, as she was in the hospital, we would get calls all the time that she was doing better, she wasn't doing better. And it was in the times of COVID. So there was, you didn't know what to expect. And every time there was a call, my heart just jumped. Like, what's going to be next? What am I going to hear next? Am I going to get some good news? And I would just pray. I would just be on my knees, just praying constantly for God just to bring her home. But that didn't happen. And I wrestled with that. I'm like, God, do you love us? Are you going to take care of us in this time? And, you know, how are we going to lose the heart of our family, all that stuff? And I had to just really hold on to God, that he was comforting us. And I read that scripture several times and I was like, how is it possible for me to comfort someone else? How is it possible for me to understand God's love in this way? It's not possible. And as I read that scripture, I was like, it is possible because God is bigger than I am. And I just remember just constantly reading that scripture and holding on to that, because in the back of my head, I know God's bigger than any of my trials. I know God's bigger than any of my sorrow that I'm going to go through. And I just really, really held on to that. And I prayed a lot. And I just remember even recently, a sister was going through something and I shared that same scripture. And it just came full circle for me. It came full circle. Just like the scripture says, you're able to comfort someone else in their times of troubles, just like God comforted me. And so because I received that God's comfort, I was able to comfort someone else. And I was able to do that because I trusted God. And I trusted God that God's not going to hurt me, and God's not going to put pain on me that I cannot bear. And I'm not speaking for everyone, because every one of us is in our own battles, is in our own trials. We have our own stories, our own situations. And as painful as it is, I know the truth is that God loves us and God comforts us in such a beautiful way. And there's no other way for me to be here in front of you speaking about this than the love of God. So I just pray that you guys, whatever you're going through, that you let God help you through it, because that's the only way you're going to get through it. And I'll share a little bit more later.
Thank you. Yes. I love that idea so much, because I just feel like God does comfort us in ways that maybe we didn't expect. you know, I love the idea of us, and then the idea of us now comforting others. So we're going to jump into some practicals now, because I feel like it's really important for us to kind of now figure out where the rubber meets the road, because sometimes we don't know exactly, okay, I know that God is good. Now, what does that look like? And so as you think about what this means practically, I want us to kind of keep that in mind that, you know, these things are not just, it's not a how-to of like how to start feeling better or how to get through what you're going through. But maybe the idea of these practicals is that God does equip us in ways that maybe when we thought we weren't able to bear these things, that actually we are. So the first practical that I want to jump into is the idea of surrounding us with the right kind of friends. You know, Shanna kind of alluded to it, and I love the idea that God uses friends to minister to us. And I actually want to break down three specific kinds of friends that I think in times of suffering and times of loss or grief that we need. The first kind of friend is a truth teller. Someone who's going to tell you the truth of what's going on and remind you of some of the truths. I know for me, I get kind of stuck in my head, and when I was going through different, I had experienced a breakup in the kingdom, and I remember when I was in that moment, I was really bummed out, and, you know, just, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, this sucks, and I just, you know, it's just really tough, and I needed the brothers to come remind me, okay, like, you know, you, even though it didn't end up the way you wanted it to, you know, you were successful because you were pure and you upheld God's standard. Things like that, or just reminding us of like who we are in Christ. We need friends like that. Just how David reminded Mephibosheth, you are a son of a king, you know, and we'll restore to you what was rightfully yours. And remind, so we need friends who are going to remind us of that. We also need friends who are going to be good company. David didn't just say, okay, Mephibosheth, hey, like, this is who you are. You're a good person. Don't forget that. He also said, hey, like, let's hang out. You know, I want you to join me at my table. And we all need friends who are gonna be with us and have good times together with us. I think sometimes we get kind of a little too caught up with having friends who are gonna be so purposeful. Like, hey, I need you to be my friend so you can fix me. And we forget that we also need friends to have fun, right? And we also need some people, a friend who's going to relate to us. David himself in the story, he actually also experienced loss. He lost his son earlier in his reign. And on top of that, he also lost Jonathan, his friend. And so he understood what it meant to lose someone, and he was able to relate to Mephibosheth in that way. And I know for myself, I've been really blessed to have friends. You know, it's a tough situation, you know, to lose a parent, but I have been blessed to have friends who also have been through almost the exact situation I have. And I just see how God has, God has prepared me for this season that I'm in. But let's talk about the next thing, you know, helping others. Like Shanna was talking about, you know, when we are comforted by God, He actually also empowers us to comfort others. I maybe not all of us in this group, in this call, are going through something right now. But you can be a comforter to somebody else. And sometimes it'll be your turn to be comforted, and someone will step up in that way. And the temptation, though, is that when we're in our pain and our hurt and our suffering, the temptation is it for us to be isolated. You want to be alone. You don't really want, you want to kind of just retreat into ourselves, and rather the scripture shows us that our grief connects us. Yeah, the last scripture I read was 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 4. And so I just love this idea of how our grief connects us, because even though sometimes we go through such hard things, we also are able to minister to others. I want to make sure that everyone's hearing me. Is everyone okay? I'm not seeing people, but are you guys seeing me? Okay, cool. Yeah, I figured. I don't know what that is. Let me see. Okay, cool. Right. So, the last thing we're going to talk about, I was hoping that, you know, hopefully Shanna gets back on soon. It's her time to talk in just a few, but just the idea of being in the Word and praying and scriptures, you know, God is with us, and He reminds us through His Word. Sometimes, like I said, we isolate from others, but also sometimes we feel alone. So, oh, thank you, bro. Cool. Right. So I just want to make, yeah, wonderful. So just an idea that, yes, God is with us. He is among us. And He reminds us of that through the scriptures and through prayer. I know that just like it is difficult to connect with others when we're hurting, sometimes it can be difficult to connect to God. And I don't really necessarily know if I had a practical for that in the sense of do this, that, X, Y, and Z, and then go ahead and it'll be fine. But what I can say is that God encourages us to engage with Him earnestly. Kind of what Shanna was saying before when she had faced the loss of her grandmother, how she did question and did feel a little upset. I really don't believe that God is displeased in those moments. The reason being is because God knows how we feel. It would be silly for us to kind of pretend like we didn't feel that way when God knows our hearts. Rather, I think that when we have these moments of feeling a little hurt by God or feeling or wondering what God is doing or where He is, we ought to ask Him and try to engage with Him. I know that when I lost my mom, I definitely had a moment like that where I just had to say, hey, God, I feel like this is really unfair, and I feel pretty upset with how the outcome of this was, you know, feeling like I had prayed earnestly for her recovery, and I had really tried my best to just, you know, hold on to faith. And I realized that, you know, even if it felt wrong to be a little upset at God, because I know that He was the creator of all things, and I know He was supreme, and I knew that His plan was not to harm me, but really to give me hope in a future. I did need to be earnest with how I was feeling with God, and then allow God to speak back through me in the prayer and scriptures. You guys are telling me that Shanna is back. Let me see. Shanna, are you back? I don't see you. I'm not seeing her. Her guys, I know we're having a little bit of some tech issues. It's really, I don't know exactly why these things happen, but hopefully we get that straightened out, you know. But when she comes back, if we have time, I definitely want her to share just some of the things that she took away from some of these practicals and how she was able to apply them in her life. But again, just to kind of backtrack, I just want to let you guys know that the way we see that is that this isn't necessarily a manual or like an instruction guide of like, okay, like if you're feeling bad, do these three things and you'll start feeling better. You know, our journey with suffering and pain and with hardship, it's all unique, like Santa was saying. And I think that, you know, to have restored vision in it, to have restored vision, the vision that's restored to us, I think is number one, see what God is doing through our friends, seeing and how God lifts us up through our friends, seeing and finding ways that we can use our pain to connect to others, engaging with God earnestly, and then also being rooted in the scriptures and in prayer to let God speak back to us. All right, folks, thank you so much.